This article, Being White in Philadelphia, went viral, and many folks talked about how the author, Robert Huber, had identified real pains and challenges that we're feeling in our lives. And this was uniquely painful for folks here in this neighborhood where the author lives. That's because here in Mount Airy, we have a history of working for racial justice and integration. In the 60s and the 70s, folks fought against housing discrimination and redlining. And people in Mount Airy and beyond came into Mount Airy and worked person to person, door to door, to stop white flight from happening. And they steered folks to live together, block by block. And so folks in this neighborhood, in this church, have worked on those efforts, and per capita were very involved in the civil rights movement. Now, we know that this part of the city is far from perfect. But it's also true, if you get to know us, if you're visiting, we have some pride about working hard on matters dealing with race and the common good. So the article happened, and some folks got together and said, we have to use this as an opportunity and do something. Two friends of mine, Dwayne Wharton, who is black, and Rob Lamb, who is white, got together with a group of their friends and decided they wanted to celebrate the cultural diversity that still exists now and is being created for the future in the northwest part of the city by throwing a big party in the summer. So for months in advance, they reached out using a lot of social media and personal relationships across traditionally entrenched ethnic and socioeconomic barriers in order to create a tremendously diverse fiesta. On Germantown Avenue, Dwayne and Rob and their friends used a space which previously was a rundown used car lot, but now has been renovated into an interesting, funky, environmentally friendly outdoor space. They had live rock and hip-hop bands, a bumping DJ, who we have to find and bring to this building, food trucks with delicious, ethnically diverse foods, ping pong, go-karts for the kids, and mural painting on a building's wall for the kids. All the kids got to go up and make a mural during the party. The party was a fundraiser for the Food Trust, which provides healthy foods, a lot of fruits and vegetables, to folks who don't get enough. I was there with my family. At least 500 people came, very ethnically and economically diverse group of folks, and over $3,000 was raised for the good cause. Now, you may think having a party sounds a little superficial or insufficient as a response to entrenched racial and social problems, but don't go too far with that thought yet. Reverend Jackie Lewis serves as minister of Middle Collegiate Church in Manhattan, and she is a national leader in multicultural congregational life. Reverend Lewis teaches that space for play and imagination is essential for healthy living. Religious experience can allow us to imagine ourselves and all of creation in new and more whole ways, and to rehearse for that reality. So I say, and a lot of other folks say, we need celebrations of the spirit that allow us to let down our hair, or pretend we have hair and relax, cross borders of race and class. We need to mark with gratitude when those celebrations take place. And if you're from another congregation, I just will tell this place, Unitarian Society of Germantown, we do have a lot of people that know how to party. We like to party. This happens to be one of the kinds of people we attract. And is it true? If you don't party, it's okay. You're welcome to be here. Here at our church, we have many multiracial celebrations, from the Hindu festival of lights, Diwali, where we make our sand art, Rangoli. We light our diyas. We listen to tabla and sitar with an Indian dance troupe. We have Day of the Dead with Real Deal Mariachi Band. We bring photos and name our deceased loved ones on the altar with sugar skulls and flowers. We have Kwanzaa with African drumming, great storytelling, libations, lighting of the Kanara. These times of joy allow us to imagine ourselves and all of creation in new, more whole ways, and to rehearse the new reality. Celebrations of the spirit, of the human spirit. And believe me, I know, as I think most of you do, we need all the help we can get. We need that good energy from those celebrations because, as Robert Huber wrote, many whites are blind to the rough realities of places like North Philly where poverty and crime is intense. And one aspect that allows blindness is that areas like North Philly are predominantly black. Race remains a dominant issue in our country, has been from the birth of the country, whenever you say that was. And many of us don't know how to talk about race. One very painful example to me currently is that approximately 20% of Americans think that President Obama is a Muslim, or so they say. I think for a lot of folks, that is consciously or not knowing, they can't use the N word anymore. So we have a new word, which is the M word. And of course, Unitarian Universalists don't think in any ways it's negative to be Muslim, but that it's another way of otherizing and putting down painfully. And this makes me think that we need something like the Pentecost, that we heard the Filipino language, Tagalog, Spanish and French in Acts. You can think of that story as a metaphor or literally. It doesn't matter because there's power to that story. People from all nations coming together and hearing each other. And right now it seems like we're all speaking in tongues many times and not understanding each other. We may need a Pentecost moment in our nation, certainly in our city. And as is true in many areas of life, when we pay attention to the children and youth, they are leading the way. My wife, Kristen, teaches Spanish. She's a great Spanish teacher. And she teaches at a local elementary Quaker school. Student body of the school consists 50% kids of color, 50% white kids. And recently, Kristen was talking with one of her classes about new demographic studies which show Latinos in Philadelphia have grown to 12% of the city population. That's a big growth in the last decade. In the conversation, one African-American child said that the black percentage is shrinking because we are all getting killed. Soon after that, a white student declared that race is a social construct having nothing to do with biology, only racism. Now keep in mind, these are two seventh graders, a black and a white child, who are aware of at least some, if not many, of the realities at the base of Philadelphia's social problems, such as the high murder rate predominantly suffered by people of color. In Philadelphia, we've had years where we're relieved when we get the total murder number under 400. The prison industrial complex devastates communities of color, and our public school crisis pathetically and unacceptably involves closing all but a few libraries in our schools. Nurses and counselors are rationed out as if we were in the Great Depression. Thank goodness one job just came back. Sports and extracurricular programs happen primarily only if volunteers manage, or the principals have some magic wand, and the public schools are disproportionately high with folks, kids of color. In this church, people of color and white folks have been saying for many decades that we need more opportunity for honest conversations about race. And we've been trying for decades. I know very detailed stories from the 80s where they were trying. And we are far from perfect. At times, folks do not feel that they are heard. At times, folks feel that their concerns are deflected painfully. But with more practice, we have faith that we can improve in our listening skills and make space for grace so that we can understand and hear each other's stories and truths. Most all of us have stories which are hard to tell, honestly. I think many of us have thought something like, am I having problems with this person because I'm one race and she's another race? Or will we be having this conflict regardless of our ethnic backgrounds? It's hard to raise that question up. I have a couple points I want to just touch on in my own story. My father worked for 30 years as a public high school guidance counselor. And at one time in a public meeting, he was called a racist by a black father of a black student who my father had been working with intensively for years and loved very deeply. And that hurt, that really hurt him. It really hurt him, and it hurt me as a byproduct. In high school, more than one of my friendships with African-American kids became distant because both of us felt pressure from a socially segregated school, and I had the white privilege and did not do enough to use my power, looking back, and that hurts my heart. What are your stories? This is why we come together this weekend to explore how we can be most committed and effective in fighting racism and working for multicultural community. Many of us long for congregations where we hear people speaking other tongues like Swahili, Spanish, French, Cantonese, Portuguese, Creole, Tagalog, and Vietnamese. I'm still learning how to say one of the languages, let alone hear it. And it's an honor to have a colleague who teaches. Of course, we want some translators because, like, we read it again in English. That's helpful. But we also need to deepen our listening skills and our intercultural competencies so that we can hear and respect each other's truths and stories. It's hard work. We make plenty of mistakes. I got all kinds of bruises and cuts and stitches from messing up as a minister. But I also want us to continue growing in our ability to name, claim, and proclaim the ministries and programs that are working in meeting the spiritual needs and aspirations of a wide diversity of people. We, when you count up all the children and youth, everybody who's in the covenant of membership, have about 500 people with 17% folks of color. And in a nation that's still greatly segregated on Sunday mornings, that is an accomplishment which brings many spiritual blessings. But it is a fragile ecosystem. And we have to name, claim, and proclaim what is working, or it might fall apart. Our board has created a transformation team, which is staffed now and is about to start working. It'll be in charge of, from the top, the board and the staff, all through the committees, how we welcome, how we do worship and faith development, being kind, friendly watchdogs to work against oppression, but also encouraging cheerleaders, keeping inventory of what works so we keep it going. We have a decades-long, different names, but decades-long Ending Racism Committee, which helps us do trainings, Journey Towards Wholeness, Jubilee 1 and 2s. We've done a lot of them with Restoration. And we study books and films like Soul Work and Lies My Teacher Told Me and talk about them and try and integrate our learnings into what we do. Our choir sings in at least 9 languages. And we have a new band with a drummer with a drum kit. New drum. For the Jewish New Year, we blow the shofar. On Christmas Eve, we pass the light and sing sacred carols. For Passover, we eat bitter herbs to commemorate the pains of slavery and place an orange on the Seder plate to honor female clergy. For the Unitarian Universalist New Orleans Jazz Funeral for the Old Year, we sing and dance and march out in the second line, getting our groove on. For Dr. King Day, we celebrate the life and ministry of one of the greatest Americans, the only one with a plaque up who preached here, and then we serve as headquarters for MLK Day of Service. And over the last decade, we have mobilized thousands of volunteers, literally, working with public schools, under-resourced partner organizations, many of whom we are building relationships with over the years. We host homeless folks in our church and give witness in the public square in economic, immigration, reproductive, and environmental justice. Right now, we're standing with restaurant workers trying to get paid sick leave, which they can't take in this city. We're advocating for slowing down the building of prisons and rising up the funding of schools. Now, probably none of this is as miraculous as speaking in tongues and understanding people gathered from all the nations. I know that. But it's pretty special. And I love being a part of it, and I know many others do as well. Wouldn't trade it. But it's also tough, and it has to be done mindfully, or odds are it'll slow down and fall apart. So I encourage all of us from communities, Unitarian Universalist churches, keep track of your stories. Name, claim, and proclaim what works. Even if it's only 5% of your experience, try to name it and hold on to it and see what else could grow out of that. Drama and theater have been essential over the years in our ministries. Robert Anu has directed a number of plays. One was called Talking With by Jane Martin, where 11 very different women give monologues about how they have dealt with life's trials and tribulations. One woman is a Texas rodeo queen, and another woman loves McDonald's, living a lonely life in central Pennsylvania. One of the women speaks her truth, which it seems all of the characters could share. She fears that her one and only life not be normal. She doesn't want to just be normal. I think most of us want to have the ability to mindfully and gratefully see that life is not normal. No life is. All of our lives are filled with amazing blessings and surrounded by awe-inspiring miracles. We all have the power to make positive, powerful impact on others. We all have the capacity to tell our own stories and to listen and understand others. In this way, we have the ability to imagine ourselves and all of creation in new and more whole ways and to rehearse for that reality. Blessings be. Amen.